This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Thursday, February 14th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, how to make that old drafty house energy efficient. We'll also have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first a look at today's news. Now that the Future Gen Power Plant project is in serious doubt, one lawmaker wants to see how communities that tried to lure it to Illinois could get some of the money back. AM 580's Tom Rogers has more.
Representative Chapin Rose's district includes Mattoon and Tuscola. Both spent hundreds of thousands of dollars. The federal government withdrew its support for FutureGen not long after Mattoon won the experimental clean coal project. Rose wrote a letter to state economic development officials to see if any money earmarked for FutureGen could help those communities while the project's supporters try to revive it.
To what extent can we use some of those funds that have already been appropriated again previously to this, you know, to help fight that fight? Secondly, to what extent can we use some of those funds, if at all, to help reimburse the costs that these two communities are out, because they relied in good faith, poured blood, sweat, and tears and a ton of money into this, in good faith that this was a fair fight.
Rose also hopes the state can help get environmental clearances for land initially offered for FutureGen. That way that land would be more marketable to other buyers. Meanwhile, Illinois' congressional delegation is asking the Bush administration to reverse its decision to drop FutureGen in favor of smaller projects. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
It's still unclear if there's support from a legislative panel for Governor Rod Blagojevich's plan to expand state-funded health care. While the Blagojevich administration pushed for lawmakers to take action yesterday, the panel declined. Members of the Oversight Committee say they need more time to review such an expensive proposal before making a decision. Republican State Senator Dan Rutherford of Shenoa is a panel member. Rutherford says he and others will be better prepared to take a stance after Blagojevich gives his budget speech next week.
I do not believe that a fair request of an oversight committee of the legislature to ask for an extension to deal with a very important public policy matter because of wanting to wait and see what the governor's budget address had to say and how they plan to pay for it and how they plan to move forward was an unreasonable request. I think their response of refusal was very unreasonable.
Blagojevich is widely expected to address health insurance issues in his speech next week as he's made it his platform. Despite the panel's delay, the Blagojevich administration has started enrolling people in the expanded health care program. Many allege that and that unilateral move is illegal. A lawsuit is pending. A spokesperson for the governor says Blagojevich looks forward to working with lawmakers to give more people health care. Talk of allowing exemptions to Illinois' new smoking ban reached a boiling point yesterday at the state capitol. Jenna Dooley has more.
The long-term effects of a statewide smoking ban in public places are still up in the air, but several Illinois lawmakers want to give some wiggle room. Danville Representative Bill Black has put forth a proposal that would let people smoke in private clubs. The change would benefit veterans' halls like American Legion's and VFW's. Black was prepared to explain the change to a committee of lawmakers, but his measure was taken off the agenda. Visibly angry, Black then stormed out of the meeting. He had this response when reporters asked why Chairwoman Karen May blocked him from calling his plan.
Because she's an idiot.
Black brushed off arguments that his plan would open the door to weakening the smoking ban.
The members would have to vote to let an 85-year-old veteran have a cigarette. Is that a slippery slope? And this guy fought through three wars?
Other plans would allow smoking in bowling alleys, casinos, and bars where there's little or no food service. The smoking ban in public places took effect the first of the year. I'm Jenna Dooley.
The person who pays the bills for the state of Illinois is warning of fiscal trouble as work begins on the next state budget. Sean Crawford reports.
Controller Dan Hines says lawmakers and the public should understand the state is facing an economic slowdown, one that could make it harder for the state to bring in money to pay operating costs.
And now as we face a recession, our financial problems are daunting, and the General Assembly, as they come into session and as we begin to put together next year's budget, we have a real task on our hands to deal with these financial problems, meet the needs of the people of Illinois, and be responsible stewards of state tax dollars.
Hines' comments come just days before Governor Rod Blagojevich delivers his budget address. The governor will likely call for business tax hikes and other methods of raising more money, but Blagojevich also supports costly expansions of health care programs. Hines says health care costs for the state under the current system will go up by $500 million in the next year. He says the governor should fix the Medicaid system, including making sure health care providers are paid in a reasonable amount of time. I'm Sean Crawford.
The Savoy Village Board could vote to accept a limited annexation agreement with the Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District when it meets next week. The approval could come despite the MTD's rejection of Savoy's request for tax sharing to cover road maintenance. AM580's Jim Meadows has that story.
Four members of Savoy's seven-member village board said after last night's study session that they would definitely or probably vote to approve the agreement with the MTD without the tax rebate they requested. Mayor Bob McCleary would make a fifth yes vote, but he would only vote to break a tie. Trustee Art Skelton could not be reached for comment. Trustee Jan Nickum helped negotiate the proposed agreement. He says it should pass because it will protect most residential areas in Savoy from forced annexation while allowing bus service along Route 45.
Most people that are under roof in Savoy right now that do not have property sitting in MTD districts would be exempt from taxation for 25 years, which my perspective is that's a pretty good time length for a tax exemption for a property owner.
But Trustee Joan Dykstra remains a firm opponent of the agreement unless the MTD helps pay for what she says will be higher road repair bills due to daily bus traffic. She says such cost-sharing agreements are not unusual, and she hopes her fellow trustees will decide to keep on negotiating the point with the MTD. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Authorities say a man picked up by the U.S. Marshals Service represents just one of many leads investigators are pursuing in the fatal shooting of five women at a suburban Chicago clothing store. Tinley Park Mayor Edward Zabrocki says news reports early yesterday of an arrest were misleading and prompted a firestorm. Tinley Park Police Department Commander Rick Bruno says the man was picked up on an unrelated warrant. Bruno says the arrested man was not turned over to the South Suburban Major Crimes Task Force or the Tinley Park Police Department. The Tribune Company is cutting 400 to 500 jobs company-wide, focusing on corporate staff. Staffers at the Tribune were told yesterday about 100 jobs will be eliminated at the newspaper, its Red Eye edition, Chicago Magazine, and online products such as ChicagoTribune.com. In a memo to staffers, publisher Scott Smith said the cuts were necessary because revenues from the media group had dropped 5% in January. He also says ad revenue had dropped by double digits. Tribune Media Group spokesman Michael Dizon says the group has about 3,000 employees. For the latest newscast online, go to wyol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. People who choose to live in historic houses tend to appreciate old-world charm, but that charm often comes at the expense of energy efficiency. Old windows and doors let in cold drafts and leak out warm air, so homeowners are often forced to balance their interests in historical integrity and aesthetics against their environmental principles. Diane Richard has this report.
My neighbor James Boyd Brent had me over to his house the other day. He lives in a beautiful farmhouse that's about 130 years old. It's got tall ceilings, rickety staircases, original windows, floors, and doors. But what makes it cool also makes it cold. Really cold. James recently had an energy audit done. Today he's showing me all the problems he needs to fix. He greets me at the door wearing a knit hat. And even though he's lanky, he looks a bit padded.
I got a vest, you know, like a t-shirt, a shirt, a very thick shirt, actually. And then a sweater and another sweater. So this is four layers.
That's because it's really cold inside. James is a professor of design at the University of Minnesota. He has a taste for beautiful old things, but that puts him in a bind. Does he sacrifice what he loves about his old home to improve his green cred? Or does he simply live with the howling gales blowing down his hallways? It's a dilemma he confronts every winter, preserving aesthetics versus conserving energy. He says it's not a strict either or. And he's willing to install modern conveniences when it makes sense.
I'm not interested in being faithful to some sort of bourgeois idea about what history is.
To prove it, he shows me the ultra-high efficiency furnace and water heater he recently installed in his basement. But I noticed something else down here.
I see light coming through there.
That's exactly. That's daylight. I mean, there's not even a window. There's nothing. There's just a hole.
Upstairs, it's bad enough. James's house rarely tops 60 degrees. Down here, though, I can see my breath.
Last year, you know, it froze down here. Rolex's cat water froze solid. I saw her once sort of tapping it with her paw with a look of sort of irritation.
We leave the basement and its gaping hole for another day. Today's chores start in the kitchen.
Okay, well, I'm going to, first of all, go in here. I'm working on this door here. I actually, as you can see, you know, I've sort of sealed this all around in layers, actually. But I've just decided it's not enough. Still letting air, great, you know, currents of cold air coming through. So I'm going to, I'm actually just going to seal the whole thing right on the outside here. I'm just sticking that down a bit more strongly at the bottom. Because actually that's where all the cold air is coming through.
The energy audit helped James figure out where he was losing the most heat. Windows, doors, baseboards, walls, and attic all are culprits.
The basic thing is, you know, that's what came out of the energy audit, that all of this sort of stuff that I'm doing now is basically the sign of a complete loser.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean in the sense that, you know, it's just taking up all my time, and it's, you know, it's like I might as well live in a shack.
James is not alone. Lots of people are in the same fix, loving their beautiful old home, hating that it's as drafty as a barn. I talked to Paul Marin about James's frustration. Paul is a home energy expert. He says the taping sheets of plastic over old doors and windows should pay off.
That really reduces the amount of air infiltration, and also adds another insulating layer. So that's very effective.
Paul says that there's lots more James can do, but taping up things is cheap and easy. Now, James is not exactly looking forward to pulling down all that film next spring, but he's willing to do it because it's the one way he can balance his appreciation for the past and his commitment to the future.
I mean, obviously, I could heat this house just by cranking up the furnace and not worrying, but it would cost literally thousands of dollars a quarter, you know. And also, it's just a complete waste of energy. You know, I do actually have a sort of sense of the connection between wasting money and also wasting energy and wasting resources and being wasteful.
So, like a lot of people who love their old homes, James's weekends will be spent sealing up his house. It's that, or spend a lot of money on expensive upgrades, or wasting money on heat that escapes through the drafty doors and windows, and that big hole in the basement. For the Environment Report, I'm Diane Richard.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the USDA's Cooperative Extension Service, the Gaylord and Dorothy Donnelly Foundation, and the Americana Foundation. You can find photos and transcripts at environmentreport.org.
In the forecast for the region today, expect partly sunny skies, not as cold, a high near 40 degrees today. South winds up to 20 miles per hour, gusts around 30. Mostly cloudy skies tonight. A chance of rain or snow in the evening, then a chance of snow after midnight, the low around 22 degrees. Mostly cloudy tomorrow, colder, the high around 25. Colder tomorrow evening, partly cloudy, the low around 7. Mostly sunny Saturday, the high around 32. Not as cold Saturday night, mostly cloudy skies, a chance of snow after midnight, the low around 22. Snow or rain likely on Sunday, with some light accumulation possible, the high around 38. Mostly cloudy, a chance of snow Sunday night, the low around 20. And for Monday, President's Day, mostly cloudy, the high around 28 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Thursday, February 14th, you can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.